The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment, if I'm talking to you, originally recorded and broadcast on Saturday, April the 26th, 2025, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled Quincy is Like CSI on Valium. And the time is 8:19 a.m. here in London, making it 3:19 in the morning over on the east coast of America and 19 minutes past midnight on the west coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. Okay, so Quincy, or as it was better known, Quincy M.E., was a famous pathologist show from the 1970s that I sometimes caught. They'd put it on, if I was on my school holidays, it'd be on ITV, probably 3 in the afternoon, something like that. And I remember seeing some episodes, so it was something that I was looking to watch again. And I started watching it, and I just couldn't get into it at all. It didn't help that the first season was made up of feature-length episodes over an hour long involving just, like, one murder. Whereas, you see, CSI, which is from about 2002, I think it started, and I'm only 3 seasons in. There's CSI Crime Scene Investigation, which is the main one, set in Las Vegas. Then you've got CSI Miami, that spun off from that, and then CSI New York, or NY, that spun off from that. And Miami's my favourite, then the original CSI, then New York. But the way that they did those episodes, what I'm sort of working out about them, is some of them, they're around the 40-minute mark. It could be anything from 39 minutes to 44 minutes an episode. But each episode has 2 deaths that are being investigated in it. And so you've got 2 different teams doing it, bouncing from one story to the other. So it's very difficult to get bored because everything happens so quickly and so much is covered. And there might be, occasionally there's a narrative that might run through a few stories, like somebody might be involved in a court case or something like that. But you can pretty much watch any episode you pick and you've seen a start and a finish, and that's that. So I think the fast pace of it works. You still have some of the elements that of the diverse picture they want to show us, but not the wokery that you got post-2013 that I talk about. But so I think some of these series ran till around that time. I think the original one ran till 2015, and it'd be interesting to see, well, not interesting is probably the wrong word, depressing to see if some of this seeps in as I go on. It's weird to actually be talking about something like this as new, but it's new to me as I only started watching it less than, I think, a year ago. And, I earlier in the week, because I've been looking at different old programmes and stuff like this Quincy programme, and I've been working my way through The Outer Limits. I got all the episodes of that, which was the closest thing to me to The X-Files. It was made in at the same time as The X-Files. So The X-Files was 1993 to 2001 or 2002, and this was 95 to 2001. It was basically made by a network to challenge both the X-Files and Star Trek. Now, I can't stand Star Trek, and some of the stories in there involving aliens and spaceships, I just skip to the next one. Probably about 30, maybe 40 episodes I thought were worth watching, and there's about 150-something that they made. So, probably the best thing about The Outer Limits, I would never watch the original in black and white. Just look at some of the pictures from the original series in black and white from the late 50s, early 60s, and have a look at the monsters, and they just look laughable because, of course, the technology is not there that they have today. But if you really are a big fan of the X-Files, the music sounds similar, the shots look similar, because, again, it was made in Canada, like the X-Files was for the first four seasons before they moved the production over to Los Angeles, California, Hollywood, wherever, for the fifth season. And you have a lot of the same supporting actors. The guy out of The Lone Gunman, the lead one with the beard, he's in a number of Outer Limits episodes. I've seen both of Scully's parents, the father, a couple of times, playing a cop in one, and something else he was playing as well, I think a military general. And it's quite interesting when you see some of these people popping up. But I was pleased to get the series out of the way, and it was a period of time where I've been trying to look at different things and then going back to watching these three CSIs and Criminal Minds, which is a similar series. I saw one episode of each a couple of days ago, and I thought, you know, this really is about the best television that I watch at the moment. So I do recommend CSI, but as I say, Quincy is like CSI on Valium. Of its day, if you were around at the time, I remember being quite excited to watch it when I was a child. But things have moved on. People demand more. Think about CSI TikTok. I could really imagine that, and that's due to today's limited attention span, which includes me. TikTok videos are limited to 10 minutes on their platform. So you could have two CSI stories done and dusted in 10 minutes. And I wouldn't be surprised if we end up in that arena at some point in the not so distant future. And then, of course, not to forget the Half Man, Half Biscuit album, CSI Ambleside, which had some very good tracks on it. Okay, so just to let you know, since last Wednesday's bonus show, I have received a £20 donation, which means there is now £35 in the kitty. So I only need another £15 to do another bonus show. The donate button is on the website, achshow.com. You know what to do or don't. It's up to you. Okay, so here's what I found of interest in the news since Wednesday's show. So I'm just going to bring this up. Well, I may as well close that window there. So I'm going over here to the news. And we're going to start off, not a news item, but a show from the Health Ranger Report, or the Health Ranger, Mike Adams, brighteon.com. The Health Ranger Report channel is the one that you want. And you say, I thought you said you deleted his channel. Well, yeah, I did. Stopped listening to him because he kept mentioning that sponsor I'm not going to mention again whatsoever. And it got up my nose, to be honest. But I ran out of listening to all the old stuff that I had. And I ended up, there were some that I started listening to, and I haven't listened to this for years, and now I know why. I'm not going to say what it was. But I just deleted it off, and I freed up so much space by getting rid of some of these old shows that it was a good exercise. And it was nice to get away from all the same sort of stuff you're hearing. I mean, this show, we'll get into this in a moment. I even downloaded some Alex Jones for the first time this year. He had Kathy O'Brien on. She was the woman, Transformation of America, believe her or not, it's up to you. Claimed that she and her daughter were sexually abused by all these rich and famous people. And she names the names in her book. And I used to say when I was younger, you know, I remember getting that book with my first order. Maybe it was my only order from David Icke. I ordered a lot of his books directly, and he was carrying that book, and it arrived. And it didn't say that it was, but it was actually signed by her. I was like, oh, wow, I don't have it anymore. I got rid of it, what have you. But I thought it's worth listening to her with him. And, It was all right. I mean, you can find it online. You can find it on the Ron Gibson channel on Brighton.com. And I think Before It's News put it up as well. And I listened to a variety of other things. Best and Taylor off BeforeIt'sNews.com. Because there really isn't a great deal out there to listen to, in my opinion. And I look at lots of things every day. So, in desperation yesterday, I liked something with maybe a story. So I listened to the John Cale and Bob Newworth album, Last Day on Earth, which is like a story. It's called A Blueprint for Theatre. It's quite a nice album to listen to as when you're older. It's not too heavy in places. You know, it's quite nice, easy on the ear. And it's like one long song going together. So anyway, back to why I have got this article to start off with for you. And it is a Mike Adams show that went up 2 days ago. It's called David Dubine Warns Mike Adams of a Wave of Crop Failures Leading to Worsening Famine by Summer 2025. So this is just the sort of thing that's right up my street. Dystopian type of show. I lost interest listening to them for a while. I mean, I was doing other things at the time, but I wasn't gripped by it. But it was worth listening to for this one piece of information that I'm going to reveal to you now. At the very start, David Dubine mentioned the closure of Skype and the fact that it's migrating to a new platform called Microsoft Teams. Now, I have always used Skype to record all of my shows. I've never recorded on Skype. I do the call on Skype and I record it on something else. Some of you may know that Victor Hugo did an interview with, what's his name? He's some guy covered in tattoos that was one of the people on the flotilla ship bringing aid to the Palestinians back in... He was on there with Cynthia McKinney, got arrested, stuff like that. But anyway, apparently he recorded a long show, but he recorded all his show through Skype. And when he went to get the recording, he couldn't get it. And they kept telling him, oh, yeah, you'll get it soon. And I've never seen it, so I don't think it's ever gone up there. So I think that they've kept it because things were said. Well, whatever reason, that's my opinion. Maybe there was a technical problem. I don't know. I can only speculate. But one thing I'm not speculating on, I'm reporting on what David Dubine says. You see, what Microsoft have said, who owns Skype, is that they're closing it on the 5th of May. But if you want to switch to something called Microsoft Teams, which is very similar, you can click a button, it'll take you over to Teams, and it'll take all your contact data and stuff like that with you. Well, you know, I'm a very suspicious person, ladies and gentlemen, and they don't close something down for a reason and try and move you on to something else. And David Dubine on this show alleged that people that have been using Microsoft Teams, he'd had reports of, if they start talking to each other about things that the powers that should not be don't want them talking about, then suddenly their calls are cut off. I thought, oh, so if that's true, that would indicate why they'd be doing it, wouldn't it? So I'm looking for another platform. I'm not planning to go across to Skype, to Teams, at least not straight away, because I want to see... You see, the other thing that I discovered is I was looking at maybe deleting my Skype account now, because I've been trying recording on something else. I only need it when I'm recording a guest. And get this. As you know, my email address is andrewcarringtonhitchcock@hotmail.com. Now, Hotmail is a Microsoft product. You cannot delete Skype without deleting your entire Hotmail account. So, you know, I don't want to do that. So I'm going to let Skype lapse. And 2 months down the line, we might have all these reports of, oh, Teams is doing this to your computer and that to your computer and stuff like that. And of course, if I've already got the platform, then I'm only going to be able, and it operates the same way as Skype has, I'm only going to be able to delete it if I also delete my Hotmail account, which I don't want to do because it's an address that all of you know. So I'm going to sit this out for a while. I'm going to use a different method of recording for Dr. Peter Hammond, and it doesn't affect my solo shows. So we'll see what reports come in as Teams is used by more and more people. But I found that interesting and worth a mention on this show. Okay, so something I don't mention enough, and I really should, the website oddityCentral.com. If you ever, you've looked at everything, you've looked at shows to download, what am I going to do now? You know, I don't really want to go on eBay and buy something I don't want, or Amazon because I'm bored. What should I look at now? Just go to oddityCentral.com. And I'll read out this article for you. AI-powered shampooing machines take over Chinese hair salons. This was published on April the 21st by Spooky. A number of hair salons in China have introduced AI-powered shampooing machines that can reportedly wash and rinse clients' hair in just 13 minutes. The AI revolution is just starting, but it seems the hair care industry is already using artificial intelligence to automate the hair washing process in hair salons. According to several Chinese news outlets, AI-powered hair washing devices have been spotted at hair salons in various districts of China's Guangzhou province, with some referring to their growing popularity as an AI shampooing craze. The innovative machines reportedly rely on infrared sensors to detect the user's scalp and then select the right shampoo and shampooing method based on the person's hair type. So there you go. AI is getting into everything. But as I said before, with something else relating to AI. AI is not completely without influence of its creator. Unless, of course, AI really does think that it's important to include the web address of the satellite phone store in a 4-minute summary of a 2-hour show by Mike Adams and Steve Quayle, and I don't believe that that is the case. Okay, so let's see what else. The UK government, this is one of these things that Malefica Scott used to say about the difference between the independent media and the mainstream media about 2 years. We'd be reporting on it for a while. Well, the mainstream media have been reporting that the British government are going to pile tens of millions of pounds into technology to dim the sun. Okay? And we know that that's been going on. We don't need to read anything. We just look up at the chemtrails in the sky. We know what's going on. But there's this kind of fusion going on between stories that we've been talking about for years and the mainstream media. The key is, the thing to look out for is they'll never tell you who's behind it. So you'll start hearing all these things coming out, more and more things that that the mainstream media never wanted to talk about. But they're happy to talk about now, just so long as they don't attribute what's going on to the people behind it. That's the key. So that is something that has been being talked about in the mainstream media. It's the Pope's funeral today, I believe. And it turns out that a lot of people have been criticised for taking selfies of themselves with the dead Pope as they've got up to his coffin. And this is a story I've been following during the week. And I even found yesterday that after all these stories were coming out, so you think, oh, you know, the last thing you want to do is take a selfie next to the Pope's coffin. Someone did it, and that someone was a priest. So there you go. They've been referred to as obviously disrespectful mourners, but this is the age that we live in today. A couple of stories I'll update you on. I always like to do that here, things that we've covered. Talked about the driving tests in the UK, and how people have been waiting, you know, 6 months, 8 months, something like that, to take a driving test. And that woman who had to travel 400 miles from Surrey to Cornwall to take a driving test. They're no better. Apparently, the government is saying that they're working on it and what have you. But the This month there were online queues of more than 15,000 people to get tickets, to get a driving test. And so the government are acknowledging that, but they're not actually saying anything. Apparently a woman told the Commons Transport Select Committee that the waiting times that people are experiencing are totally unacceptable, and that was our own Transport Secretary, Heidi Alexander, who I've never heard of, quite frankly. But there you go. So, and the other story with an update for you is I mentioned, I believe, on Wednesday's show, this band called Kneecap. And they're an anti-British Belfast trio. They're a rap band, apparently. And there was a complaint about them by Sharon Osbourne, I covered. Apparently they've been accused of being pro-Hamas. Well, since then, they are going to be investigated by, what's it called, the Counter-Terrorism Task Force, I believe. Counter-Terrorism Internet Referral Unit for assessment, and that's going to determine whether any further police investigation may be required. So that's an ongoing story there. Apparently they were at Coachella, that music festival in California a couple of Saturdays ago that people were moaning about. You may have heard many people in the independent media saying that in this day and age, someone would prefer to be labelled as a rapist or a murderer than a racist. Well, get this. There's a football fan, and he's a fan of a very small team. I'd not even heard of them. The team he supports was called Chester FC, so it sounded like a non-league team. They were playing another team called Warrington Town, and this football fan, who was in his 50s, made some racist gesture to one of their black players. Well, after that, he was reported to the police, and then he read comments about it on social media, and he hanged himself. So rather than being labelled a racist and have to go to court and, all right, I did this and what have you, he couldn't live with that stigma. And so he killed himself, he hanged himself. So there you go. It sort of proves the point, doesn't it? And let's move on to staying with the police as well. Another corrupt police officer, female, she was having sex with some associates that were criminals, and she's gone to jail for 3 years and 9 months, actually. She joined the Greater Manchester Police in 2020. She was 27 years old, and she was having a casual sexual relationship with a guy called Josh Whelan, who was described as a committed criminal. So there you go. It's funny, when I joined the police back in 2002, get this, folks, you have to give details of, you know, if you like apply for a, it's, you have to go as far back as the age of 12 or 13, and you have to give all the details of your parents, your any brothers and sisters, any spouse, partner, something like that. They all have to be on there, and they're all investigated because they look at, you know, anything that you have been up to in the past, which may presumably reflect badly on them were it to come out. So that is all looked into. But these days, you're getting these people. I mean, it's amazing to me. When I was doing something like that, I wouldn't dream of associating with criminals, because I know it could affect my job, as it obviously has affected this person. But we're getting story after story of, you know, people becoming prison officers and it looking like they're doing it for the purpose of getting sex in the prison. I mean, it's so frequent. It's obviously not all of them, but it's a significant number. Otherwise, you wouldn't be hearing all these stories. And again, you're seeing people here doing these sorts of things as well. So that's the nature of the world we live in, unfortunately. Okay, there's a game, they call it a game, in a Spanish holiday resort, where drinkers get shots for 50p if they can endure a 10-second electric shock. So this is one of these stupid things that, like you see what's the latest TikTok craze, and all these people start dying trying to imitate it. It's amazing to me, the intelligence level of some people today. But as you know, if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, there's a lot of protests against tourists, particularly British tourists in Spain. Some of them can be very badly behaved. They go out there to drink themselves silly, causing trouble, throwing up all over the place. I remember some friends of mine that were older used to drink in the pub with them. And one of them had gone out on a golfing holiday with some friends of his, and they'd hired a car. And it was quite funny when he told the story. And they'd gone out to drive it to the golf course the next day. And some, I won't say what he said, but it began with a C, had puked up all over it. And it'd take them ages to clean it. And this other guy at the bar, he says, why, had it all gone hard? He said, yeah, and they had to wash it all off. And yeah, that's your typical British tourist that's done that to another British tourist who was better behaved, just there to go and play golf with his friends. So there you go. But my view is that if they're trying to give you 10-second electric shocks, how do you know that these aren't part of the anti-British tourist movement that may be trying to find another way to get rid of British tourists? I certainly wouldn't, based upon the climate over there, and I'm not talking about the weather, I wouldn't be prepared to endure something like that, because I would feel that there's something a lot more sinister afoot. Okay, so now we have Gen Z. There was another government inquiry this week, a House of Commons panel where someone has to, you know, explain themselves or what have you, or someone comes to give evidence. And in this case, it was a gentleman from Blackpool who is a, I think, careers advisor, a youth advisor even. And he says that, well, we already know that more than 500,000, they call them NEETs, and that's people not in youths not in education, employment or training. More than 500,000 aged 16 to 24 have never had a job. And this guy, Graham Cowley, who works on getting them into college or work, he said that there's been a significant change in attitude to the concept of work. And he said, his quote was, these kids are on the internet 24 hours a day and they don't want to work for anything less than 40 grand. Yeah. But again, when I was younger, I had to go out and make my own money. I have friends who did as well. I have friends that worked in like a supermarket on a Saturday or something like that when you're sort of 14. Well, I ended up cleaning people's cars. So I worked for myself and it was great. I used to go around doing that. I'd get on my bike and cycle around to different people in the area, and it was some nice cars I got to clean, actually. In fact, I had to go over to one of the houses near me when I was over at my mum's the other day, because some tree had come down on their fence. That was something, another delight I had to sort out. And I hadn't actually been in that house since the late 80s, because we knew the people who lived there and they moved out and some other people moved in. So we went over to say hello to them, what have you, and I popped the question if they'd like me to clean their cars. And they said, actually, yeah, we're happy to pay you to do that. So I did that for a while, and then they moved out. And it was quite nice, because the guy got a brand new, it was an F-Reg, I think it was an 88, brand new Porsche 928 S4. And that was a £60,000 car back then. And the wife had a more modest Vauxhall Cavalier, which was, again, fairly new. But Yeah, I remember cleaning that. That was nice to be able to. And then, of course, you could, you know, you didn't really bother, I suppose, but you're cleaning the inside and out and stuff like that. And then I had to do things at home. I had to do the lawn. And that's a big old lawn. I'm still doing it to this day, but I would do the lawn for them. I would have to clean the house. I'd have to do washing up in the evening until we got a dishwasher. All these sorts of things I had to do. I was expected to help out. And I was reading something on the internet where parents are saying, oh, no, we don't think it's fair to ask our children to help around the house and stuff like that. And that's what you get as a result. You know, the Bible's very specific on, well, I'm not going to get into the realms of corporal punishment because you have to be so careful what you say these days. But you see on, if you look up what the Bible says about how to raise children, and you don't just let them have it all their own way, otherwise they'll expect that all their life. And as many of you know, you don't get it all your own way in life. But I think that this is a conscious effort to encourage indiscipline in children, to again destroy the society that you want to destroy. And also, I think I've said enough on that point. So that was my reaction when I saw that. Next, I found that we're going to finish off with a couple of stories here. As you know, in the UK, we've got this online safety bill that's come in. It's quite, how can I put it? It's a way of censoring without censoring. And what do I mean by that? Well, as I explained before, any platforms that, according to Mark Collett, have a facility in which you can make comments, you can upload video or upload images, fall within this social media range that covers the Act. But I think it can cover any sort of website, what have you. And what the UK government can say to a provider like Gab and BitChute, who haven't been banned in the UK, they've withdrawn their services in the UK because if they don't comply with this legal act, then they can face an £18 million fine or a fine of 10% of their turnover, whichever is the greater. And, you know, gone are the days where they're like, well, we're in America, come and get us. There's obviously more to it than that. They're obviously quite worried. And so they've withdrawn their services, rather than just say, all right, make my day type of attitude, which is the attitude that you would have expected these sorts of so-called alternative platforms to have had some years ago. Now, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry unveiled some big memorial to young people who have died due to harms of the internet. Now, like so many things, that they, when they want to get something, public support for something that they realise is going to be unpopular, it's always, it's for the children. It's for the children. We have to go to war. Never mind the Iraq war, talk about the first one, Desert Storm. Oh, the Iraqi babies, they killed all these babies in incubators in Kuwait. Complete lies. But you put that in the media and it's like, oh yeah, we need to bomb them. That's terrible. Yeah, but it was all made up. But they got what they wanted. And now you can see why the mainstream media is such an integral part of government. Or rather the people that control the government and the media and the banking and what have you. But if you want to look up the Lost Screen Memorial, you will see 50 large illuminated smartphones. I'm not laughing at the children that have suffered as a result. I think it's terrible. But it's where I see this going. And I think that these children are just being used as part of a greater agenda. These 50 large illuminated smartphones each display the photo of the child who died after being exposed to, you know, bullying behaviour online. Okay. So It would make sense, wouldn't it, to have laws against bullying behaviour online. But when you look at the things that they're clamping down on, I'm sure bullying and things like that does go on these sorts of platforms. But can't these platforms go 18 plus, something like that, and then the children be safe? Well, when you find out what's in the Online Safety Act, that is a very small part of what the Act is designed to stop people from doing. And so when I see that being unveiled in New York City, a couple of days ago, I can see what they're planning to roll out for you in America. And it's going to be similar to what we've got in the UK. And you'll say, well, we've got our First Amendment right to free speech. Well, where? You know? You can shout it in the street, maybe. But if these platforms that you're using your First Amendment right to free speech on are told by the government, look, we've got to do something about this because of these children being harmed, and so we've brought this law out that incidentally includes all these other things that we really want to shut up, that we're just piggybacking off this for. They can do that and not breach your First Amendment right, because the companies can still do it. They can still let you do that. They just have to be prepared to pay £18 million or 10% of their turnover each time they do. Okay? So we're not stopping your free speech. We're just doing that instead. So you can see how they'll always find a way around something. And the other thing that I saw, which is kind of similar, is there's a guy in Myanmar where they had that devastating earthquake about a month ago. 3,000 people died. He warned after that earthquake that another earthquake was going to hit Myanmar on the 22nd. And he did that on TikTok. Well, as a result, he was arrested. And this is a statement by Myanmar's military government. We got a tip-off about fake news being spread through a TikTok account that a severe earthquake will hit. Action will be taken effectively against him according to the law. Likewise, we will also take action effectively against those who write or spread or share fake news. So this guy is called John Moe. TikTok account titled John in brackets Palmistry, and it issues regular text predictions against the backdrop of a swirling cosmos. Well, if this comes in America, before it's news.com's finished for a start, okay? But when I see things like this, you take it with a pinch of salt, but you can see again, like this is in Myanmar now. What's next? Is it going to be fake news to say that there's a military government in Myanmar, that they're not elected? Oh no, that's fake news, we'll come arrest you next. Or the banking system is based upon people being able to create money out of nothing and charge interest for the people. Oh no, that's fake news. You can't write or spread it, or you can't share it. You can see where it's all going, can't you? And again, it's not about free speech, you see. That was why hate speech was pushed so long. Oh, hate speech isn't free speech. Free speech is free speech. A lot of people are going to hate to hear it. But that's why it was over and over again, this mantra, keep repeating until people get it into their heads that it's a fundamental part of their brain, that there is such a thing as hate speech that can't be free speech. And you have to work on that over a period of years, as they have. And this is just the moving forward of all of that. Okay, so now let's see what's going on in the mainstream news right now. So we'll start off with Associated Press. Pope Francis's funeral is set to begin. They have a live feed on the AP right now. So if you want to follow that, then it is over there. Let's do the BBC News Top 10. See what their most popular stories are. Again, they've got a live feed too. World leaders, including Trump, join crowds in Rome for Pope Francis's funeral. And it's going to begin at 10 a.m. local time, which is, well, 9 o'clock UK, which is in 3 minutes. So I do apologise if, well, this isn't live, is it? So there you go. Let's scroll down to these top stories then. Number 10, Russia and Ukraine, very close to a deal, says Trump. Number 9, we have more in common with America than the rest of Canada. And let's see what that is from. It's presumably from, oh, it's Western Canadians that are fed up with a decade of liberal rule and they're openly calling for separation. Well, who can blame them when you see some of the things that they've been subjected to? Number 8, Pope Francis funeral, a visual guide. Number 7, BBC licence fee unenforceable, says Culture Secretary. That's encouraging. Number 6, who is going to the Pope's funeral? Number 5, Greg Wallace defends himself against allegations. He's some TV chef here in the UK that I've never liked. He always looked a bit, I don't know, just something about him. I just didn't like him. But he's had all these allegations, that the usual things about sex and stuff like that. So his career's on the slide. Number 4, obviously, today's What the Papers Say article from the BBC. Ukraine's only choice and Greg Wallace's defence. Number 3, border officers saw a couple behaving oddly with a baby and uncovered a mystery. Number 2, celebrity Big Brother 2025 winner revealed. And number 1, Virginia Giuffre, Prince Andrew and Jeffrey Epstein accuser dies. Oh, that's new. I heard she said a few weeks ago she had a few days to live, and then that was rolled back. This is from an hour ago. Presumably it's just not the top story because of the live feed of the Pope's funeral. So it says she's died by suicide at the age of 41, according to her family. So there you go. That is very unexpected. Okay, so, and let's have a look at the Big Brother, celebrity Big Brother winner. It's, I probably haven't even heard of them. Oh, here we go. One account connects all of the BBC. Signing in is quick and easy. And they have some image that, you know, would obviously encourage anyone to want to register and sign up for the BBC. They are so pathetic. Okay, so, Coronation Street star Jack P. Shepherd has been crowned the winner of this year's Celebrity Big Brother. Now, I very much doubt it's the same Jack Shepherd that I've been watching in the television series Wycliffe, which was a detective, a police whodunit series from the mid-90s that is not available anymore, and I had to pay, well, not great costs really, it's about £40 second hand. So more than I like to pay for the complete box set, but that was something else I looked at yesterday, and yeah, it was fairly interesting watching that. So everything that I watch is in the past, as you know. Let's go over to the Daily Mail, see what's going on over here. Again, Pope Francis' funeral live. I imagine we're going to know what the second top story is. Well, no, they all relate to Pope Francis, and yeah, after that, Jeffrey Epstein victim Virginia Giuffre takes her own life at 41 after troubling Instagram posts as heartbroken family say toll of abuse was too heavy. So I imagine that there'll be lots of stories on that that will allege that it was other than suicide, things like that. The independent media have something in common with those who say do not let a good crisis go to waste, and there's enough people in it that will milk this for as much clickbait as they can get. Okay, let's move on to the what's going on in the independent media. So we'll start off with RT.com, which I keep thinking of dropping. Trump reacts to Moscow car bombing that killed Russian general. Again, these sort of things, I mean, if this is supposed to get sympathy for Ukrainians, certainly as someone who grew up, when I see car bombings and that, I think about like the IRA when I was growing up, things like that. It's not like war, it's like underhand terrorism. So if these Ukrainians think that this is going to draw up sympathy for them, I don't imagine that my feelings are alone and other people will like myself, growing up with all these car bombings by the IRA, would associate that with this. But then again, you never know, because they've all been taught to... So many of them were putting up Ukrainian flags on their Facebook and all that nonsense, weren't they? So, anyway. Trump, who had apparently not known about the incidents until he was asked, said, "That's hitting close to home, right? That's a big one. I'll look at it. If I hear anything, I'll let you know." So, bit of a non-story, this, isn't it? Because he hasn't really commented on it, has he? Because he's going to get back when he knows more about it. So let's move on to rents.com. See what's going on over there. So we'll scroll down to the news section in the middle. The top featured story, Yoichi Shimatsu, computer assembly failed in Silicon Valley and won't be returning. And then we've got Hegseth fires all Pentagon advisory committees, including seat held by Obama crony Susan Rice. And then this McGregor guy, is that Douglas McGregor? Hegseth was never qualified to lead Pentagon. Says it seems the entire Trump admin is in a meltdown because it has no strategy. And then they talk about the exchange of gunfire between Pakistan and Indian forces, large Pakistani army reserves being moved north towards Kashmir. And that's a link to the Hal Turner website that we'll be getting to in a moment. So there you go. Let's go over to there now, halturnerradioshow.com. The top story now is Ukraine foreign ministry delusional or suicidal. And I don't know if that relates to the car bombing I just mentioned. I have clicked on it and I'm waiting for it to load up. Is it actually going to do anything, this website? No, this is about them effectively withdrawing from peace negotiation. The Ukrainian Ministry of Foreign Affairs have their main points are that they'll never recognize any part of its territory as Russian, including Crimea. And no country will ever be able to prohibit them from joining NATO or the EU. And they'll never agree to a reduction in the army, military, industry or limitation of aid from partners. So that is a statement that they've made. Let's go over to Mark R. Else's website, earthnewspaper.com. See what is going on over here. So that is just loading up now. We've got a video at the top that is of an interview by George Galloway. Not a single foreign journalist has been allowed into Gaza. This is a 12-minute interview from rumble.com that you can find at the top of earthnewspaper.com. Music of the day. You know, I like to get into this bit. This is a great feature that Mark has on his website. Very interesting. So this is yesterday. On April 25th, 1987, U2 started a five-week run at number one on the US album chart with their fifth studio album, The Joshua Tree. Inspired by American tour experiences, literature and politics, the album topped the charts in over 20 countries and is one of the world's all-time best-selling albums, with over 25 million copies sold. The album, which won a Grammy Award for Album of the Year, produced the hit singles With or Without You, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, and Where the Streets Have No Name. So I've got that album, and I've listened to it a few times, and it is quite good, but I never seem to go back and listen to it. Have you got any albums like that that, well, this is good, but, and even now, I know I'm just not in the mood for it. So what can I tell you about it? I can tell you that Bono apparently begged Brian Eno to produce their Unforgettable Fire album, which is probably best known for the track Pride on it. That was 84. So this was 87. I think that they had a live album in the middle. And then they did a mixture of live and other stuff, I think called Rattle and Hun, in between this and Acton Baby from 1991, in which Bono said that they had to not just change their sound, they had to completely reinvent themselves and become something different. And I think that the Acton Baby album is a very different animal to the Joshua Tree album. and they took sort of quite a different direction, very poppy. I remember thinking at the time, it was a bit like the all this hippie type stuff that came along in the late 60s. It wasn't brought in by the Beatles, but it was what was going on, and so the Beatles kind of had to go along with it as well. So they were growing all their hair and stuff like that. That's always been my opinion. And at this time, 1991, when this came out, was 91. I remember because I saw an article about the Dire Straits on Every Street album, and their management were in touch with each other, them and U2, as to when they were going to release their album so they didn't clash and release it on the same day. So I think they were close. I think it was only 2-3 weeks apart, but they didn't want to do it on the same day because there's going to be similar fans interested in U2 and Dire Straits. But I think that Dire Straits, U2 probably won that battle with Act of Maybe, because Dire Straits' final album on Every Street was pretty lackluster when compared to any of the others. I imagine it's, for me, probably their weakest album. But anyway, going back to this Act of Maybe album, you had all this acid house type of stuff going around in the late 80s, after U2's The Joshua Tree and before the Act of Maybe album. And you can see elements, hear elements of that rather, in the songs on the album, which again are reminiscent for me, very similar to the Beatles picking up that kind of hippie type songs, you know, the sort of music that was going out by the smaller bands and becoming quite a craze. So they had to do, I mean, you compare what they were putting out in the late 60s to I Want to Hold Your Hand, for example, and it's completely different, isn't it? So sometimes you have to follow the trend around you to remain, relevant. That's really probably the best way of summing up what I am trying to say. And now we're going to sum up the show with the Before It's News Top 10. As I said before, if I get another £15 in, that will be another bonus show this week. Another £65 will be two bonus shows. Another £115 will be three bonus shows. And on it goes. I will never do more than one show a day. So if a big donation comes in, then there'll be shows every day of the week until the money runs out. The offer is there. It's up to you whether you choose to take it or not. I'm quite happy to continue watching my Wycliffe box set instead. Or in fact, The Sweeney is also very good. I saw an episode of that a couple of days ago, and that's probably what I'm going to watch after I have finished recording this show. And good episode of The Sweeney from 1975. Funnily enough, Network, the great company that would release all these old programs on DVD, and sometimes they would do a lot of work making Blu-ray restorations. They did that for the first series of The Sweeney, but they went bust a year or two ago. Well, I suddenly saw that another company are bringing out the Blu-ray of the first series of The Sweeney, I think in June. But they're not mentioning the other series. And what Network did was, I've actually got a leaflet showing all four series coming out, but they only released the first one because the demand wasn't big enough for them to do the work on restoring the other three. So this company has come out and said, oh, a new 2025 Blu-ray transfer. Well, I'd be surprised if they've done additional work to what's been done. I mean, you could almost probably get away with that statement by just getting it from Net, saying, well, that was the Network one, this is ours, so this is new, even if it's all the same technology and nothing else. I mean, I've seen it and it's stunning. So I think now it's worth getting, because I was even encouraging fans of The Sweeney getting it for over £100, which is what it was going for on eBay, now that it's been deleted, because it really is a stunning picture. But yeah, so there you go. That's 50 years ago now, 1975, watching programs like that. But some of the drama and the tension, and the good thing is my bad memory helps me, because I don't remember the episode that I saw, so it was like watching it from scratch. Okay, so let's do the Before It's News Top 10. Number 10 went up 10 hours ago, 113 people viewing. Benjamin Fulford, Urgent Emergency. They were all executed at Gitmo. All right. Number 9 went up 5 hours ago, 116 people viewing. WTPN situation update. A military tribunal at Gitmo, worldwide. EBS alert imminent. Number 8 went up 3 hours ago, 116 people viewing. Wano Savin, Q&A General's Tent, the biggest disclosure yet. Number 7 went up 10 hours ago, 135 people viewing. New X22 report, China feeling the weight of tariffs begins to fold, Bitcoin enters the picture. Number 6 went up 3 hours ago, 144 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted, be prepared, global EBS alert imminent, world lockdown for 10 to 12 days. Number 5 went up a day ago, 178 people viewing. Wano Savin, emergency broadcast, a mass casualty event in the works. Have a think about some of these headlines that I've read to you and how many of them could be prosecuted for fake news in Myanmar. So you'll see where we could be going. Excuse me. Number 4 went up 7 hours ago, 193 people viewing. And we know, Trump does a blitzkrieg, judges arrested, panic in DC. Did you see? Do you see? Number 3 went up 10 hours ago, 332 people viewing. This message will find those who are supposed to hear it. Well, that's not going to be me. Number 2 went up 11 hours ago, 388 people viewing. Trump lawyer makes two huge announcements. Benny Johnson, whoever that is. And number 1 went up 10 hours ago, 531 people viewing. Megyn Kelly, I am risking everything to share this with you. Well, there you go. So I'm going to play the closing music. I want to thank all of you for joining me on today's show. Quincy is like CSI on Valium. I'll be back with you again next Saturday with this show, if not before. And until then, folks, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend and bye for now.